for I am not ashamed of the gospel.
You only need to spend a few seconds on Grace Point Ministries YouTube channel to understand that this is not a conventional church.
It's the power of God for salvation to all who dare believe it. So we share in suffering. We fight like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Turning away from youthful passions to truth and compassion, students in college gathering together, losing our lives because we've got all the gain.
Grace Point is an evangelical Southern Baptist ministry with more than 800 outposts in college towns around the U.S. And that's how Grant Howe-Wylin found his way to Grace Point's church in Berkeley, California.
So while Grant was at Berkeley, he started attending Grace Point Church. And he became a full-time congregant.
That's Dhruv Mehrotra, an investigative reporter at Wired.
And after about a year of being a member of the church, he felt comfortable enough to come out to his church leader as being a gay man. And when he did that, the church leader was accepting of him, which was surprising to Grant. But there was a caveat, which was that Grant had to install this software, Covenant Eyes, on his phone, which the church leader, according to Grant, the church leader told him that the app would help him with, quote, all of his urges.
Covenant Eyes monitored Grant's phone and sent reports about what he was doing online to his designated accountability partner, his church leader. Grant later shared those reports with Dhruv.
And when I read them, what it tells me is that Grant is like a totally normal dude. he's reading BuzzFeed. He's looking at the Huffington Post and he's, whatever. He's just like a guy browsing the internet at night. But what it told the church leader was that Grant, had some kind of issues, right? One email that I got from that Grant sent me from his church leader was because Grant searched a hashtag gay on a website, right? And that was enough for the church leader to confront Grant. And that email was like very accusatory. It basically was like, hey, man, anything you need to tell me?
And it's not just Grant. According to Dhruv, more than 450 Grace Point congregants had Covenant Eyes or similar accountability apps installed on their phones, as do Grace Point staff. The idea, the lead pastor told Dhruv, is to team up with someone else and help control sinful behavior, like the urge to look at porn or masturbate. But there's something else going on here, too, a question about who has control over what someone else does on the internet. I think if you are maybe a casual churchgoer or really member of any religion, it might seem like a lot for your, religious leader to ask you to install software on your phone. And I wonder if you could describe the role that Grace Point plays in people's lives.
I don't think Grace Point is like every other church. I think Grace Point is much more all-encompassing in their members' lives. For Grant, they paid for his housing. He had basically subsidized housing in Berkeley, California. He paid $400 a month in rent when he was at school there, which is, a hell of a deal. And, without the church, he might not have had anywhere to live. So that's sort of the type of role that Grace Point plays in these kids' lives. And, that is a beneficial role for a lot of them, of course. This provides community, it provides housing, it provides, activities. That's all well and good. But I think that also does factor into the power dynamic at play.
Today on the show, the rise of so-called accountability apps, or to put it another way, shameware. They're popular in churches and evangelical schools, but if your pastor asks to survey your phone, can you freely consent? I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
If you take a quick browse on the App Store for Accountability Partner, you'll find a range of apps intended to share what you do online with someone else. Some are intended to help users stay on a diet. Others are explicitly about porn addiction. And then there are apps like Accountable to You or Covenant Eyes that are more broad-based. They're not completely unlike parental control apps, but instead of blocking content, they track it.
It actually seems more interested in monitoring the content and sharing it with an accountability partner. This act of having accountability for what you look at is the sort of core piece of what these apps do.
So that I look at something and it shares that with you, and you're the person who sort of keeps me honest.
Exactly.
How exactly does the technology work? Can you walk me through like what someone might do on their phone and then what the person monitoring it might see?
So Covenant Eyes, one of the sort of larger players in this very niche ecosystem of apps, it'll take a screenshot of every single thing that you do on your device, multiple per minute is what they say. And, you know, I decompiled the app and I looked through it and there's nothing to suggest that that isn't the case. So it is taking screenshots of your device. First, what it does is it analyzes those screenshots locally on the device to detect pornographic images, right? Hmm. It wants to be able to see if what you're looking at is pornographic. And then it'll slightly blur it and then send the image and the content to, you know, its servers or whatever and bundle it up in a report for the individual's accountability partner.
And you mentioned Covenant Eyes, but how many kind of apps like this exist out there?
There are three big players. Covenant Eyes is the biggest. Accountable to You is another one that churches are using. In fact, that Gracepoint switched to recently, according to the head pastor there. And Ever Accountable is another one.
Do we know how big a market there is for this stuff?
All three of them have hundreds of thousands of downloads. They've been around, at least Covenant Eyes has been around for 2 decades. According to Rocket Reach or some other business records we had seen, the company makes or nets like $26 million a year.
Oh. So this is not a tiny market.
No, it's not a small market, which is what makes the story sort of fascinating, is that this has been around for a long time and it's sort of not been really explored and talked about.
At the heart of apps like Covenant Eyes, Accountable to You, and Fortify is the idea that they can help you fight porn addiction. They frame watching pornography as a moral failing. And on the Covenant Eyes website, you'll find links to blog posts that say watching any amount of porn is bad for your health. And then they offer a solution, a kind of radical accountability, as they call it. Would you watch porn if you knew you'd have to talk with your pastor or your family about it? Still, some researchers think this idea is dubious at best.
I spoke to one expert. Her name is Nicole Prowse. She is a firm believer that these apps don't do anything to actually help an underlying pathological issue, because this isn't an underlying pathological problem. It just makes people feel worse, is what she says, right? And you know, that's not to say that using this app won't prevent you from looking at porn, because of course it probably does. I'm not going to want to look at porn if I have to talk about it with somebody else. But whether or not it actually helps people to make them feel better about themselves in the long term is something that experts do question.
But accountability apps don't just track adult content. They monitor what apps you're using, what sites you're visiting, even what you're looking up on Instagram. One of the things that I was really interested in your story is like the minutiae of what the app records. I mean, it seems like it could be everything from like, oh, you click on that ad that was served to you, to something you're actually seeking out. Like, what? How fine-grained is what these apps are collecting?
Yeah, it's very, very fine-grained. And to your point, that's exactly what it does. Accountable to You is a good example of this. Accountable to You doesn't necessarily take a screenshot of everything you're looking at, but it just looks at all of the network requests made by your browser. So when you look at any website, you know, a website might make hundreds of these network requests to advertisers, and you might see ads from that or whatever, right? And all of that will show up in a accountable to you report. And all of it gets, you know, categorized as to into, you know, mature content or not mature content or whatever, based on the metrics that accountable to you has set up. So, you know, the people that I had spoken to saw just mundane stuff be flagged as mature. Covenant Eyes flagged Grant's psychology textbook.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. From school.
Yeah. Do you have other examples of things that were innocent or random that then got flagged?
Accountable to You did send a report to someone's accountability partner when they looked up like they Wikipedia'd atheism, essentially. When we tested the software, you know, because of Grant's story, I looked at, you know, keywords with like basically URLs with gay, transgender, and lesbian in the URL. And the most striking example for me was the CDC's website for youth resources for gay and transgender people was flagged as mature content.
You say you tested it out. What did you do?
I basically downloaded the app on one phone, and then I made another phone my accountability partner. And I would just navigate the web like how I normally navigated the web, except, you know, in some instances, go to, you know, certain sites just to trigger an alert. And then I just waited for the alert to come through on my other phone. And in the case of that CDC site, it was almost immediate. I got a text message that said, you know, someone you're holding accountable has looked at a mature content.
Wow. Do you think it gave a fair portrait or accurate portrait of what you were doing on the internet?
I mean, it was correct in that, you know, the sites I navigated to on my my browser showed up in the reports, and things I looked at on my phone showed up in the reports, right? But what was incorrect is sort of how they categorized it. And I think that's one piece of the puzzle, right? The categorizations that these apps assign to content can be problematic for people. But also just the fact that they're showing up in a report could also be problematic for people.
What do you mean by that? Tell me.
You know, I can imagine a world where the software is fine, right? If you consent to it, you and your accountability partner have a consenting relationship where you understand what's on your phone and, you know, this is very much part of your lives and you're both honest about it. That's fine. But in situations like churches where people I spoke to weren't able to consent to it, the fact that their pastors or church leaders might be getting a report that just flags minutiae just makes them feel like they've done something wrong, that they're guilty. They're guilty by virtue of it showing up in a report at all.
When we come back, where is all this data going?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, Young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gaze Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
When Dhruv tested the apps, he found that in the Android operating system, they relied on a phone's accessibility features. Accessibility features are meant to help people with disabilities navigate their phones with ease. But when accessibility features are turned on, you can end up granting sweeping access to your phone, meaning some security gaps get wider.
Both Covenant Eyes and Accountable to You exploit these accessibility features in the Android operating system. And I wonder how, in order to do what they do, I wonder how the big tech companies think about how these apps work.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, to be clear, the iOS version of the app does not exploit the accessibility features. And we also didn't test that version of the app. Apple didn't respond to a request for comment. And I think likely that's just because the app is fine for them. Google, though, on the Play Store, after we reached out for comment about how these apps were functioning, which is abusing the accessibility permission, they took down the apps. And that's because the accessibility permission is specifically for, you know, features for those who are blind or deaf. And that this is very much not providing a service for people with any kind of disability.
When I think about this, just from a data collection standpoint, it seems like there's a remarkable amount of data collected. What happens to that data?
It's a good question. And largely, we don't know. You know, all these companies say they don't share the data with third parties. But if you look at the privacy policies, they do actually make some concessions that they share share it somewhat, right? Like another app that I looked at was called Fortify. It's slightly different than Accountable to You and Covenant Eyes in that what Fortify does is it just is meant to track your masturbation habits, right? And the goal of it is to prevent you full stop from masturbating. And what that app will collect is, you know, when a person masturbates, what time they masturbate, what device, that kind of thing. It's all self-reported.
So it's like you're telling the app that that's what you're up to?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And, you know, it provides you a log of your behavior. And I guess in theory, that kind of those kinds of analytics would help you analyze yourself better. But that app we found is stuffed with all sorts of ad tech. And the problem there is that there's all sorts of data that gets incidentally shared with companies like Facebook. Like, for example, when you fill out that form that tracks your progress in your journey of stopping masturbating, Facebook is notified. They're not notified of the content, but they know that you filled it out. And kind of more shockingly, Facebook also got the username and password in plain text from individuals who use that app.
Apart from data security, another question that comes up again and again in the use of accountability apps is of consent, and whether the power imbalance inherent in a congregant and pastor relationship allows people to make a free choice. You talked to a lot of people who use these different apps. Did they feel like they understood what they were getting into?
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone knew what the app was doing. They might not have known that it would flag content the way it did, or that their pastor or church leader would react the way that they did when they saw the reports, but they all were aware. But they, at the same time, right, most of them did not consent to put the software on their phone, right? They didn't have a they didn't feel like they had a choice.
Well, let's explore this issue of consent because, right, they knew what they were getting into, and yet what? They felt like they were in a pressured relationship because someone, a pastor or a church leader, kind of strongly encouraged them to do this?
Yeah, that's exactly it. One expert I spoke to at the EFF just summarized it pretty well.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Yeah, at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. She said that, you know, one criteria of consent is that you should feel empowered to say no. And these people often did not feel empowered to say no because of the relationship and dynamic of the church that they were part of.
I think people have probably thought about that in relationship to religion for a long time, but adding technology and how much we do on our technological devices right now just adds this whole other dimension.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, you know, confession has been part of many different religions for a long time, right? And in some ways, this is just another extension of what confession is. But I guess the difference is that with confession, you choose what to confess, and this is just automatically sharing it with your pastor.
While Gracepoint may be the most prominent example of a church pressuring members into downloading these apps, it's not the only one. Churches around the country use them, as do places like Evangelical College Bob Jones University. In the past year, more than 50,000 people have downloaded Covenant Eyes, according to app analytics firm AppFigures. And Rocket Reach estimates that the company, whose service costs $16.99 a month for up to 10 members, has an annual revenue of $26 million.
I learned about other smaller churches around the country who have used them, or individuals whose parents had made them use the app, but, you know, made their accountability partner be the church leader or the pastor. But I hadn't heard about it being used systematically in the same way that Gracepoint uses it. But I will say too that at least for both apps, they do market to churches. You can find a lot of material on the internet from churches saying that, like, you know, sign up with promo code our church or whatever and get a discount and, you know, be added to our group. So you can, you know, presumably send the church leader, the pastor, your web history.
Gracepoint posted an interesting response to your reporting, basically saying that they wanted people to have friends and not members of the church as their accountability partners because of this power dynamic. But then they also had this point in their response saying basically that this stuff is popular. And it made me wonder, like, where you think the market for accountability software is going. Like, is it just growing?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know if it's growing. But I will say that after we published the article, a lot of people reached out to me and they said that they loved the software, that they hated the article. I think the point still stands that this is about consent. When you have church leaders in this position to force kids to install an app, that's like it's a dangerous place to be, especially when, you know, these are young men who are exploring their identity.
Dhruv Marosha, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Dhruv Marotra is an investigative reporter for Wired. And that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell. Our show is edited by Jonathan Fisher. Joanne Levine is the executive producer for What Next. Alicia Montgomery is vice president of audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family, and it's also part of Future Tense, a partnership of Slate, Arizona State University, and New America. And if you're a fan of the show, I have a request for you. Become a Slate Plus member. Get your podcasts ad-free. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. All right, we will be back next week with more episodes. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci.
This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
And it would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
I'm Dahlia Lithwick, and I'm host of Amicus, Slate's podcast about the law and the U.S. Supreme Court. We are shifting into high gear, coming at you weekly with the context you need to understand the rapidly changing legal landscape. The many trials of Donald J. Trump, judicial ethics, arguments and opinions at SCOTUS. We are tackling the big legal news with clarity and insight every single week. New Amicus episodes every Saturday, wherever you listen.